Morning. So I'm going to endeavor to start a new series. Today's message is called "It's Only a Test." It's only a test. Our series is titled "Tested: Faith in the Struggle." Tested: Faith in the Struggle. And the reason this is important and the reason I want to talk about this is because, I don't know, maybe some of y'all are too young to remember this. I'm sure Miguel remembers this. Remember when we were kids, you'd be in the middle of watching your favorite program, and all of a sudden they come there, beep, and this has been a test of the American broadcast system. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have given instructions on what to do. This has been a test. Well, the interesting thing about test is that sometimes a test can be so intense that it feels like the real thing. Are you hearing me? When I worked in law enforcement, I was trained in basically what we called it critical incident management, but it was basically the same disaster training that they give FEMA, okay? And so what we would have to do is sometimes to make sure that as a commander, I knew my job or that any of the commanders knew their job, we would get these emergency texts that went through to our work pager telling us, report now, there's an emergency. And so everybody's rolling out, they're grabbing their bags, grabbing uniforms, because we got to get there as soon as we can. And I remember one time I walked in, and I was instructed when I got there, we're glad you're here, you're the incident commander. I said, well, can I get a briefing? Now, keep in mind, they have us in a room where we can't see anything. So we have to assume that everything they're telling us is actually what's going on. Are you hearing me? That's the way the test is designed. So we've been in this room, and the first thing they told me, they said, we've got a riot, and it's starting to spread out into the yard, and they're telling me all this stuff that's happening, and it becomes my job to respond with the proper response. It becomes my job to respond with the proper response, to tell them, and I have to request the right stuff. So, for example, one of the first things I requested is I requested to speak to the fire chief, because the fire chief had to tell me whether or not we could rescue the people that were in this building that was on fire. Then the second thing I requested to speak to a SWAT commander. I needed a SWAT commander to come up with a course of action for us to secure a hole in the fence. We're doing this, and it is taking literally hours. Literally hours. We were in this, we didn't know, but it turns out it was just a scenario. It was just a test. But everything was like it was actually happening. I mean, calls are coming in. They even had the local police chief call. And I'm like, oh, Lord, this is real stuff. We gotta really get this done. But at the end, guess what? This is only a test. Had this been an actual emergency. You see what I'm saying? And so sometimes in life, we experience things. And as we're experiencing it, it seems, oh, this is it. This is what if Red Fox used to say, this is the big one. This is the big one. I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. And so this is sometimes how we approach what's going on in our lives. This is the big one. This is the one that's going to take me out. I know this is the one that's going to get me. And then it blows by, and you find out it was just a test. I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago, and they were having a bad time. And so they had talked to my wife. They've been friends of ours for many, many, many years. And they were talking to my wife and crying and going through something really bad. And so they asked to speak to me, and she got on the phone, and she was talking with me, and she started to sound like she was actually considering ending it all. And I said to her very directly, I said, I am not going to allow you to make a permanent decision in response to a temporary situation. I said, this is a temporary, but she started talking about how bad it was, but it's so bad. You don't understand how bad it is. I said, it's not permanent. This is a temporary situation. You need to make a decision that fits the situation and not make a decision that is going to be permanent, that you can never undo and you'll never be able to fix the situation. In other words, I was telling her, this is only a test. Let's look to the scripture. Our principal scripture is James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, the first problem we have with this text is that James tells us, one translation says, count it all joy. Count it as joy when you go through trials. Count it as joy when you suffer. Count it as joy when things ain't going right. Count it as joy when everything seems to be aligned against you. And so we got a problem with that, because we live and we teach in our churches here in America, we teach that joy is something you experience when everything is right. The way I know that God is blessing me is I have 4 new cars. The way I know that God is blessing me is that I have a Bentley. The way I know that God is blessing me is I have a mini mansion. The way I know God is blessing me is I have money in the bank. And so I have joy. I have joy. I have great joy. I have great big joy. Joy! But it's fake joy. It's joy that's tied to something that may or may not be permanent. And so James says, hey, you want to know when you should really have joy? Have joy when you're being tested. That don't fit with my theological position on joy. My theological position on joy is that joy is supposed to feel good. And if it don't feel good, I can't have no joy. That's not what the scripture says. And so what we're learning is that we have a lot of concepts that we have accepted as the church in America that are not biblical concepts. And so how can you say you're a Bible-believing person and your view of life doesn't line up with the book that you say you line your life up with? Mm-hmm. Point number one. We will be tested. We will be tested. Notice I almost put like 3 exclamation points behind that, because people need to really understand that being tested is a part of God's maturing process. That God cannot, you don't really get to know who he is until you've been tested. One of the reasons that people... Okay, help me, Holy Ghost. One of the reasons that people who are critical thinkers have problems with Christianity, they really don't have a problem with Christianity. They don't have a problem with Christ. Their problem is with Christians. Because Christians don't live what they say they believe. See, it's because you don't understand. When somebody isn't a part of the church, the only Bible they read is your life. The Bible says this. It says, you are living epistles read of all men. Notice it didn't say read of saved men. It didn't say read of Christian men. It didn't say read of holy men. No, it says you are living epistles and you're being read by all men. And so they are looking at your life, and what they're saying is, if that's Christianity, I think I'll pass. Because when you get tested, here's what they see. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand why God has me going through this. This is the baddest thing I've ever been through. And it feels like God has forsaken me. Now, why would anybody want to serve a God that forsakes you? See, we've forgotten that the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And so the way the world gets a taste of who Christ is when they experience you. I had a person say to me one time, they said, nothing seems to stress you out. You always seem like you're so calm. They said, does anything go wrong in your life? I said, if you knew what was going on right now, you would think, okay, he's got to be insane. The average person would be running with like their hair was on fire. But see, I cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that says he keeps those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And then when something happens, I'm going to panic and go to pieces. Because something's not happening the way I think it should happen. Because that's really what it is. That's really what it is. We're very self-willed, and when things don't happen the way we think they should happen, we've reduced God to being our Make-A-Wish Foundation or our genie in a bottle, and why aren't you doing what I told you to do? So you have to understand. You have to understand. God's a master craftsman. The difference between a craftsman and a master craftsman is a master craftsman, whatever they craft, they make sure that it's tested and proven before they let it go out. Are you hearing me? Scripture. James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So James says, When you encounter. What does that mean? It's going to happen. Stop acting like you're so surprised when things ain't going right. Stop acting like it's something new. Oh, I've never seen this before. How in the world did this happen? Stuff happens. And when it happens, you have to trust that God's got your back, just like you trusted him when everything was going right. I was telling my wife when we owned all this real estate and we had all this stuff, and I was scared to take all the money I had and put it in the bank. That's when you know you got too much money. I thought for sure if I'd have took that money to the bank, they was going to say I was dealing drugs, Larry. I just knew they was going to say I was dealing drugs. So I was scared to take the money to the bank. So I had a, will you tell them I'm telling the truth? I had a safe in the house full of money because I was scared to take it to the bank. That's how fast I was making money. And I was telling Carol when the economy shifted and we lost everything, and we were talking about giving and what we were going to give and what we were going to do for this, what we were going to do for that. And I told her, I said, it was easy to have faith to give $1,000 when you got $10,000 uncounted in a safe. It was easy to have faith to give away a car when you had five cars. See, what I'm trying to get you to see is that the version of Christianity that we teach in America, it has a lot of deception in it. Because, see, you had to have the same faith. Now, I couldn't give the same amount. I could just give on the same level with the same intent. You see what I'm saying? So when Hurricane Katrina had, I had all these really nice suits. I'm talking about Super 120 wool. If you don't know what Super 120 wool is, it's wool that's so fine it feels like silk. And that was the lowest wool count of the suits I had. Super 120, Super 140, Super 160. So I had these really nice suits. And Katrina happened, and all these people came to Atlanta. And Carol came home, and I was pulling all this stuff out of the closet. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to give these away. They need them more than I do. We didn't have $15 in the bank. You would think I would take them and sell them. But God said, give them away. See, because a lot of times you pass the test by doing what you know to do, even though all the obstacles are saying you shouldn't do it. You're going to be tested. I think I got another scripture. Watch this. 1 Peter 4:12-16. Beloved, do not be surprised. Beloved, I'm going to give you all the Everett Spencer translation of this. Is that all right? Beloved, stop being surprised at fiery ordeals among you when it comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Why you act like this is some strange thing? Watch this. Keep going. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. In other words, as you start seeing him in the midst of your situation, you take your rejoicing to a whole nother level. Notice it didn't say after the situation is over. As you start seeing him in the midst of your situation. All right, next verse. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, wait a minute. I got a problem with Peter. I've got a problem with Peter. Peter actually is assuming that Christians are going to suffer. Where does he get this from? Why would he even infer that there's suffering associated with being a Christian? But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed. That's a powerful qualifier. But is to glorify God in this name. Now listen to me. Here's what he's saying. He said, sometimes when we go through things, the first thing the devil tries to do is make us feel like we're less than we were. And let me tell you something. Christians can be some of the cruelest critics in the world. Okay, we had all that property, had all that real estate, had all that money. Y'all, I can't even tell y'all some of the stuff we gave away. I gave away houses. I gave away some crazy stuff, man. Just being obedient. God would tell me, give them the house. Okay, here, you can have a house. You know, no problem. People look at me like, you're just going to give away a house? I know he's going to give me five more. I'm cool. Don't worry about me. But here's what I found was interesting. When things shifted and we lost everything, some of the same people I helped were saying things like, I know you got to be feeling bad losing all that stuff. Now, y'all know your pastor. You can't talk to me like that. I said, well, I don't feel as bad as you not ever having it. But No. That was a real response. That's a real conversation. Gonna try to make me feel shame because I'm going through something, because I'm experiencing a testing. God is trying to find out, do you just serve me for the stuff, or are you really in it for me? And now in the midst of my test, you're going to let the devil use you to come make me feel ashamed of what God is doing. I have to rebuke you politely and remind you. See, here's what y'all don't understand. When the devil comes to talk to you about your present, you got to remind him about his future. And so I told him, I said, you got to understand something. I told him, here's what you understand. I said, based on every metric, based on every metric. If you ever read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant, they're both written by the same guy. He's got a third one. I can't think of the name of it now. But here's what he says in the book. Make your first $1 million by the time you're 40. He said, because you're going to lose it. He said, everybody loses their first million. He said, but you have the ability and you still have time to get it back. So while you worried about what I lost, I'm looking at what's coming. Are you hearing me? See, one of the things you can't do is in the midst of a test, you can't stop being a visionary. See, what happens is people get into the midst of a test and they stop dreaming. They stop believing in possibilities. Are you hearing me? Next. God expects us to pass the test. Now, everybody here went to school, right? Okay, just want to make sure. I ain't going to ask what kind of grades you got because y'all might be in here lying, so I don't want to tempt you to lie. I was a straight A student. Yeah, if you spelled A with a D. But here's the thing. You ever show up for school and you just know this is going to be an easy day? Finals ain't till 2 weeks from now. So I got all my homework done. I got all my assignments done. You walk into class, and as soon as your butt hit the seat, the teacher say, pop quiz. And, you know, you sitting there thinking, why are you cussing at me first thing in the morning? Pop quiz. What is a pop quiz? Pop quiz is an unscheduled test. Y'all didn't get that. An unscheduled test. Now, here's what you have to understand. Every good teacher. Now, let me say this. Not all teachers are good teachers. Not all teachers are good teachers. There are some people who went into teaching because they couldn't get a job doing nothing else. And they just happened to have a degree and a pulse. And that was their qualification. To get in the classroom and form the minds of your children and mine. But every good teacher expects you to pass the test. Do you know why the good teacher expects you to pass the test? They know what they taught you. So God expects you to pass the test because he knows what he's invested in you. This is why you can't be complaining about the test. The guy who, what's it called, a proctor? A test monitor, is that what they call? The proctor. The guy who is initiating and proctoring the test knows that you have the ability to pass the test. What's really being tested is your confidence to pass the test. Do you have the level of confidence you need to go through the test and pass it successfully? All right. Let's look to the word. James 1:3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. I can't go through this again. I can't go through this. It seems like every time things are going great, I have to go through this again. You want to know why? You never get through it. You never pass the test. And so therefore, you don't have the capacity to endure anything. The test is all about developing your capacity to endure. The Bible says this. The Bible says, endure hardness like a good soldier. Endure hardness like a good soldier. I got two military guys, Sam and Larry, two military guys, and there's nothing worse to a military guy than to be in a foxhole with somebody crying about bullets flying. that this was a possibility before you signed up. So why are you crying now? One preacher said it this way. He said he was in the military. He had been in the military for 25 years. He said, you know what I learned while I was in the military? I said, what's that? He said, there's no such thing as an atheist. I said, what do you mean? He said, because when you get in a foxhole, everybody start praying. Once bullets start flying, everybody praying. Everybody. He said there was a guy in his platoon. He told him, I don't want to hear none of that Jesus stuff. I'm an atheist. There is no God. And blah, 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 blah. He said, okay, man, well, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Let's talk about something else. And he started trying to befriend the guy. And every time he would start talking to the guy, I don't want to hear none of that Jesus stuff. And so he said, it just so happened they went out on a mission and got, what do you call it, pinned down. Is that how they say it? They got pinned down by enemy fire. And they sitting in the foxhole. And the preacher is sitting there with his gun taking shots. And, you know, and he's wondering why he's only hearing his gun go off. He looks over and the atheist is over there in the corner praying. He said, hey, bro, this ain't time for praying. He said, I tried to get you to pray last week. So you got to understand, the Bible says to endure hardness as a good soldier. So the test is also to build your endurance so that you can stand. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Next. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Wow. No temptation or test has overtaken you, but such is as is common to man. Let me stop right there. The other thing you got to stop thinking is that you're so special that you're going through something unique. You ain't that special. The devil ain't sitting around devising special plans for you because you're so spiritual that you can deal with what nobody else can deal with. That ain't how it works. The devil uses the same playbook on all of us. He just calls different plays based on our strengths and weaknesses. Are you hearing me? So the scripture tells you, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, what you're going through, somebody else is going through it. The first thing I ask myself, this is how you stop yourself from complaining about where you are in life. The first thing I ask myself when I start experiencing something, the first thing I say, is this unique to me or is somebody else experiencing this too? As soon as I figure out somebody else is experiencing it, I go, well, I'm not as special as I thought. So I'm just going to chill and let God handle this for me. Let's keep on going. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able. God is not going to, he's not going to put you in a test that you can't pass. That's what that means. He's not going to put you in a test that you can't pass. That's not how he does things. What happens is the reason you don't pass the test is because you got this four-letter word in you that God's trying to get out of you. Quit. You quit. That's why you didn't pass the test. You didn't endure. Okay? But with every temptation, we'll provide a way of escape. Here's another problem, because we don't really understand what's being said here. We go through our temptations, we go through our tests looking for the off-ramp. We go looking for an off-ramp. Instead of looking for the end of the situation, looking to how God is going to bring me through. Are you hearing me? So he tells you, watch this. He tells you what your way of escape is so that you will be able to endure it. That's your way of escape, so that you will be able to endure it.
Wait a minute. That don't sound right. It sounds like if he's going to give me a way of escape, that means I don't have to endure it.
No. That's not how God does things. He'll provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. Uh-oh. Next. Last point. How we pass the test is as important as passing the test. Y'all remember the college entrance scandal? All them kids was talking about they got 2,000 on the SAT. I got 2,500. I don't even think there is 2,500 points on the SAT. Where'd you get them extra points from, bruh? My daddy bought them for me. It cost $400,000. But how you pass is just as important as passing. See, the scandal was that these kids, their parents were paying for them to get test scores that they didn't earn so that they get scholarships that they didn't deserve. Now, here's why this was so insulting. Because everybody involved were multi-millionaires. Just pay the daggone tuition. But instead of paying the tuition, I'm going to save me. Well, no, actually, some of them paid more than it would have been to pay the tuition. And then they had the nerve to act like we were wrong for being insulted by what they did. That really was what got me. They're on the news. I just don't understand why this is such a big deal. I mean, we were just trying to give our kid every advantage, just like any other parent. No. How we pass the test is just as important as passing the test. How you go through it is just as important as getting through it. God's actually watching how you handle things. God's actually watching what you do when things aren't going your way. Have you ever noticed that whatever your area of weakness is, God will allow things to form to challenge that specific area of your life? Like if God's trying to teach you not to cuss, and then you start bragging about how the Lord delivered you from cussing, and then the next day, 10 things happen, and before you know it, duck! I thought I was free. I thought I had outgrown that. I thought I was over that. I didn't know I still knew those words. I don't know where they came from. Why is everybody looking at you? Because we know the truth. Next. James 1:4. And let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work. Now, this is the Amplified. Do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. How you go through it is important. Because God's, now see, this is why I say when people go, nobody's perfect, well, but God does expect perfection. His word tells us he expects perfection. And so he expects us to stay in his process so that he can perfect us. You remember Job? God was the one who said Job was a perfect and upright man. Job didn't say that. God said he's a perfect, upright man, one who fears God and hates evil. That were the four characteristics that God said about Job. So God can call you perfect anytime he wants to. You just can't call yourself perfect. Next. I think this is my last scripture. James 1:12. I just want to be blessed beyond measure. You know, I pray 4 hours a day and I fast 4 days a week so that the Lord can bless me beyond measure. See, that's why my life is the way it is, and God is using me the way he's using me because I do the work. I do the work. You have to You have to do the work. Something happens, they the first ones cussing. Y'all, hey, have y'all ever heard the best one to me? Both Ricky Smiley and Nephew Tommy do these prank calls. And Nephew Tommy calls these folks and they so saved. When the call first starts, they so holy. Praise the Lord. Is this Sister So-and-so? Yes, this is Sister So-and-so. I'm just enjoying the Lord today. And what can I do for you? Do you need prayer? And then Tommy get them into a conversation. And the conversation don't usually go more than like 3 minutes. And before you know it, Sister So-and-so speaking in tongues, but they're not inspired by the Lord. I'm telling you. Sister So-and-so, all that blessed conversation done gone out the window. All that holy talk done gone out the window. One girl was on there. She was going so hard. They just did, beep. They weren't trying to beep every word. She was stringing them together too fast. We just going to hold it down until you finish. The Bible says this. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. But once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I want to stay right here. It says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. What does the word persevere mean? To endure. To keep going. Stop quitting. Watch this. For once he has been approved. What does that mean? What does it mean? Once he has been approved. Once he passes the test. So there is no reward for people who don't pass the test. You know what the people who don't pass the test get? They get remediation. So we got a whole lot of Christians that have been held back. I've been saved 20 years, but you only in the third grade, bruh. You've been held back a lot. Do you realize how bad you look standing next to these six-year-olds? Once he passes the test, that's when you get the reward. Once you pass the test, that's when you get the reward. Listen, nobody gets a reward. Charmaine used to run track. Nobody gets a medal in track for showing up to the race on time. There's no medal for that. There's no medal for that. And one of the things I'm glad of is they haven't yet started giving out participation trophies for track. Because, you know, people would expect, well, my child got here and his shoes was tied, he should get a trophy too. No. So you showed up. So there's no trophy for getting in the starting block. There's no trophy for having great form. You know, some people, when you see them in the starting block, you're sitting there going, oh, he definitely going to win. Hey, don't know. Look at it. He got better form than anybody. Look how he sits in the starting block. Then all of a sudden, the race starts. And you find out he got lead feet. The Bible says it this way. It says, the race isn't given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to him who endures to the end. You have to finish. At the end of his life, the Apostle Paul is penning a letter. And this is what he says. He said, Paul was known for using sports analogies. He said, I fought a good fight. I've run a good race. I've finished my course. What he was literally saying is, I've done everything that I was supposed to do. It's okay for me to go ahead and die now. It's okay for me to go ahead and get my reward. See, Paul looked at dying as getting the reward from God. That's why he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to encourage you. So I'm going to say it like I heard a preacher say it years ago. If I'd have known I was going to do this, I'd have had my organist ready. But the preacher said, the race isn't given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to him that endureth, endureth. I can't do it no more. I used to be able to do it. I can't do it. Can't do it no more. Yeah. One of these days, y'all going to come in here, and I'm going to get it going just to irritate Shanae. And I'm going to come all the way over where she's sitting, and I'm going to stand there and go, say yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna walk out. That's because you can't endure nothing. I spent the last 40 minutes talking about endurance, and the first thing come out your mouth, I'm gonna walk out. All right. I'm so glad we can have fun in church. So let me wrap this up. Expect to be tested. Know that the test wouldn't come if you didn't have what it takes to pass it. And that's what allows you to rejoice in the midst of the test. When I was a kid, somebody wrote a song. It said, don't wait till the battle is over, shout now. You know in the end, you're going to win. And so you got to remember, I ain't going to wait till the battle's over. I'm going to praise God right now. Because in the end, I win. I win. Listen, and to use a fighting analogy, it don't matter how many rounds the devil wins. See, here's the thing. He can't win this fight on points. He can't win on points. It's fixed. So he can win round after round after round, and you can feel like there's no way I can win. And just when you think there's no way you can win, poof. If you ever watched the fight between Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns, Tommy Hearns was called the hitman. Tommy Hearns was knocking folks out just by throwing punches that went past their face. The punch go past their face. And Tommy's fighting Sugar, and him and Sugar going at it. And Sugar's so tired. It's late in the fight. Sugar's so tired. Tommy got him up against the ropes. And Tommy throws his punch, and Sugar leans back on the ropes. And if you look carefully at the slow motion, when Sugar hits him, Sugar's hand is actually open. But he caught Tommy with a clean shot. Lights out, hit man. Sorry. No, you thought you had it won. Let me tell you something. See, Miguel don't like that story because he was a Hitman fan. Well, I'll tell one about him getting knocked out. So the point is, man, is that you have what it takes to win. You just can't quit. You just can't quit. Do you want to know how I know that you can win? Everybody that can do this, I want you to do it with me. Watch this. That's all the proof I need that God has left you in the fight. You can still draw breath. You're still here. Are you hearing me? All right, let's pray. Father, we certainly thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We recognize that your word comes to reprove us. Your word comes to shape us. Your word comes to mold us into the image of your dear son, Jesus. And we thank you for that now. I thank you for every hearer. And I thank you that this word is going deep into the heart of the hearer and that it's going to produce that for which you sent it forth. It's going to produce life. We give you praise for it now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.